Hello, I am Tracy Hitchings. My guest today is Dr. Peter Zaffa, owner of the Coulomb Therapy Clinic, part two. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and a very good night to you, wherever you are across the globe. I am transmitting from the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. You have tuned into Tracy's Prog World. So Dr. Peter has zoomed back again from the Sunshine Coast, which is about, I should say, about 3 hours north of where we are here on the Gold Coast. By car, that is, I should say, not by broom or anything like that. You know? So I welcome back the multifaceted doctor with more qualifications than a bee in a collective. Yeah. So just to recap, Peter is the owner and head of the head therapist of the Coulomb Therapy Clinic. She also majors in psychology, sociology. She's a naturopath, a world-renowned Skeena trainer and therapist, a reflexologist, and she has post-grad degrees, I think, in education and teaching. I'm sure she's going to put me right in a minute if I've left something out or whatever, you know, slap my fingers. And so welcome back, Peter, for part two.
Thank you so much, Tracy, for having me back.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're looking lovely and fresh there, darling. Touching up. Yeah. So, well, we covered a few things last week. We covered the music last week, which was absolutely fascinating. You're all such a musical family with all the different instruments. And anybody who wants to sort of touch upon that, you can go back to the show with Peter last week, part one. And of course, we're in the second season series at the moment. So yeah, please go and do that. And you'll catch her history a bit more there as well. So we're going to carry on. And I'd actually like to go back and ask Dr. Peter about, we're going to Skeena and how would be best to describe the devices and its use, and the Nest scanner in which you used prior to the Skeena treatment, and of course so much more about the Russians' involvement. I think there might have been something to do with the cosmonauts or the military with regards to where this went, and I think that's a bit to start with there, isn't it? So do I need to correct your introduction?
not at all. So looking at the NES was a neutroenergetic system. It was a system developed by Dr. Peter Fraser. He was actually a Gympie boy who actually went on to study Chinese meridians and Chinese medicine.
I beg your pardon to interrupt, but just for anybody out there who's global and in different countries, what's a Gympie boy?
Oh, Gympie is a little town just north of me, 40 minutes north. It's just a little country town. Right. And you know, the funny thing is that, you know, many people think you have to come from large cities and top universities, et cetera, to achieve things, where he was just from a little tiny country town, and he developed this concept of thinking whereby looking at a body energetically, that you could change certain processes through the body to get the energy to move more clearly and make repair. He went on then to study traditional Chinese medicine meridians, put the whole lot together. It took about 20 years till computer technology could interpret this into a computer program.
Yes.
It's fascinating. I find it excellent. It looks at, you know, the organs, the communication of organs, the holograms of the brain, nutrition, energetic toxins, environmental toxins, the whole lot, and also emotional statuses. I think it's also, apart from reading this, a lot of people have kind of said to me when I've been an expo, are you psychic? How do you know this stuff? And it's really, the body's just giving you that information. The body has that information to give. Yeah. So I use that as a process of looking at a whole body energetically. And then with Skeena is a Russian device. It was developed for the cosmonauts to go into space. Yeah. When cosmonauts go into space, they reticulate their urine. They drink their urine. It's cleansed, and then because they can't carry water for the whole journey. So the Russians didn't want to have the pathology, the drugs in that, what they were drinking. So they developed Skeena, and they had a glove that had electrodes in it. It never actually went into space, but that's where the technology was developed for. They used it.
May I ask you a quick question? Very quickly, interruption here, so it doesn't get lost. Why is it they didn't want to use the pharmaceutical drug?
Because in cleansing the urine, it will go through and they'll have to drink it.
Oh, right. Okay. So
you may not get it all out of the cleansed urine.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this was a nice, clean form of healing. So what they did was they actually used hundreds of thousands of soldiers, etc., to practice their protocols, their treatment schedules on these people to see which way would work, what kind of frequencies would work best, what type of way to do it on a body system, and they came up with lists of protocols that we use today. The device and the concept of the device is still developing. People even today in the world are developing new techniques, new methods. They may not have the same type of training, or they may not have the same type of testing skills that occurred right back in the beginning. But RITM in Russia is still testing constantly, developing new devices to make them easier for people to understand, with more technology in there to be able to help you have a, not diagnose, but have a diagnostic direction as to where to go. So if you have more areas, say, occurring in a certain part of the body, you know next time to treat a different type of a body. So it helps in that way.
Mm. Yeah, and it's so incredible. And coming back to the Nest device again, I remember coming to your place for the first time, and I didn't know exactly what to expect. Obviously, I got you through a friend who's into all these natural therapies. And it was really, really interesting for anybody out there listening. I went up there, and obviously you elicit information about what's going on in the, with the person, because I was in a little bit of trouble upstairs, and it's coming out physically as well. So once we got into the treatment, you got me to lay my hand onto this device, didn't you? And with the laying of my hand on that device, it could read what's going on in my body. Can you just bring a little bit of that forward in a descriptive manner so people can get an understanding? So you have this little device, I lay my hands on it, and then on your computer screen, up comes the information. So I'm just putting it out there for people that sometimes can't quite imagine this, because it's like, it's almost like space stuff, isn't it?
What it is, it's larger than a mouse, we call it a rat. And when you put your head on the rat, or the device, as you're saying, the scanner device, it will then read the energetic body process. If you think of it this way, when a person has their arm cut off, they can have phantom pain. That phantom pain is the energetic body system still there, even though the arm is gone. Now, we have that energetic system right around our whole body. We have it around every cell and every organ and every organ and system of the body. Yeah. So what it does is it actually is able to interpret that one reading into a whole body energetic system design that I can have a look at.
So, and what's fantastic is when you were looking at me, you're saying, you know, I can tell that you haven't been doing a lot of walking recently. You've not been grounding recently. And I was thinking, okay, that's an interesting thing, because actually I haven't been getting out to the beach lately, or just walking in the park, or putting my feet on the earth, or just putting myself in the sun at safe times to do so. And you could actually read that. And like I had to agree with you, it was true. And the next time I came back, it read that I was clearly doing a bit more of that. It knew that I'd been out walking. It knew that I'd been out doing activity, which actually brings great vibration to the body, in which the body can then be its truer self, can't it, in the way that it's meant to flourish. So it's so amazing. There's a lot more to it.
See, this is the thing. It can show me grounding, body field as well, alignment and polarity. It actually shows me how you're going with your energy through the day, how you're going with sleeping. What people don't understand, we are an electrical energetic being, and we need to actually ground. In our society nowadays, people say they take their shoes off, but they're still walking on lino, cement and concrete. People will say to me, am I grounding when I'm in my pool? No, because it's surrounded by concrete. We actually have to touch the ground. I have a client at the moment in London. He said, you know, Peter, it's freezing here. I cannot possibly put my feet on the ground. So I said, then go out and hug a tree. It is grounded. Yeah. If you can touch something that's grounded. Now, back in the 60s, the hippies touched trees and we thought they were all airy-fairy crazy. They didn't know why it made them feel better. They didn't know why it made them feel calm and healthier. But we now scientifically know that in grounding to the earth, we actually ground ourselves just like an electrical wire. Mm-hmm. We ground. And look, sometimes I have clients that say, but I'm going to the beach every single day. I'm doing this every day. And it's not showing, because the stress, the state of the body system, the foods they're eating, the environmental toxins, the electromagnetic frequencies like Wi-Fi, etc., can be dragging that from them so fast that the body doesn't have a chance to balance. And I can see that too in the system.
And I had awareness of these things, but obviously at the time I wasn't really paying very much attention to them. And I realized I had a lot of electronics going on at home and was sitting with them far too long and not having breaks, not having rests, and a lot more to it than that. But it really came to light that this wonderful device that you have, the Nest device, could really read from many different points of view what's going on in the kidney, the liver, the sexual organs, absolutely everything. You could even detect that if one is or is not having a lot of sex. You can tell whether they're active. And that's for a reason. It's a good reason to need to know all these things about that the body's being as healthy as it can be, isn't it? So, and through that, you can start to sort of evaluate how you're going to treat the person. Or you did give me great advice about, and I know a lot about food, but I wasn't in that zone at the moment. And so we had these conversations. Then you got deeper stuff. This is where your psychology comes in, isn't it? And where your sociology and psychology comes in. You brought things out of me in another way and another way of thinking. And then we eventually went on to do the treatments, didn't we? So, and the treatments were absolutely stunning, particularly the vaccinations and the, you know, and that's not a needle, by the way, guys. That's a, oh, but Peter can explain all this anyway. Sorry, I did interrupt you, but I'm very excited, you know.
After no, all, not did... at all. I think it's wonderful.
You could train me.
I think the thing is that I have people that come to me to actually do some extended treatment with Nest, like to learn more about it, because I used to, way back when I was in the clinic, I used to be the advanced trainer for it. And what I find with it is that, you know, some people who aren't trained correctly in the Nest, in the full range of it, they tend to say things or read it incorrectly, and that can be a problem. So that was one of the reasons too I advanced myself. I wanted to be able to speak about the nutritional area. I wanted to speak about the psychological area. And I say to people, if you're going to do that, you need to go and do counseling. You need to go and get the information, because, you know, you can say things that can be very damaging to people, and people are coming to you assuming you're a professional. Mm-hmm. Now, I consider my role as a professional is that when a client comes to me, I have a responsibility to know, and if I don't know, to find out what is best for them. Okay, so if somebody, and I, you know, I don't know every single disease, though I've become in contact with a lot of them, but if somebody tells me something, you know, they'll say, can you help us with that? Of course, because I'm not dealing with a condition, a disease or a condition, etc. I'm dealing with bringing the whole body system back to balance, which is called homeostasis, and then allows the body to release the chemicals and information to heal itself. Yeah.
So in other words, they may come to you with a condition, but the way that Skeena is taught and trained and understood, it's intelligence. Is you don't treat it like that. It comes from a different intelligence. It comes from a different understanding. That's just to help people out there, because it's sometimes quite difficult to cross over if you've only ever had experience in going to a medical doctor. It's quite difficult to get your head around why and how this works.
Look, I just had a training with level ones on the weekend where I was training them. They're kind of going, I don't really understand. I don't really, could you explain that simply?
I remember that.
Exactly. The thing is, what it is, because they keep on trying to put it into their own reality. Is that this? What it is, it's a frequency. Somebody said, oh, it's electricity. It's not electricity. It's a frequency that is very similar to your own nerve frequency. And what happens is when we put a frequency into the body system, it actually activates the nerves to send the correct messages up into the brain to get the brain to send the repair and healing messages back out. Now, I had a lady came to me and she had good pasture syndrome, which is a very rare autoimmune disease and condition. And, of course, the way of treating a lot of autoimmune is to reduce or suppress the immune system. My focus is not to stop something, but to get the body to rebalance itself and work correctly. You know, if it's not working correctly, we need to get it to work correctly, not suppress it. And we did that work with her. And about 4 months later, her immunologist, et cetera, because I always have them go and test, she went and tested, and he actually said, I don't understand, it doesn't make sense, but you are no longer registering with this syndrome, with this condition. So, you know, the body can, and they'll say, oh, thank you for curing. I didn't cure a thing. What you do is you put in the information so the body can make the repair. Sometimes people have very chronic conditions that have gone over, you know, 70, 80 years, and it takes time to reverse. You're basically reversing in backwards.
Yeah.
So the latest thing they're seeing, you work on it and you work right back to a condition where I had a lady came 2 years ago who was, she was on palliative care. She was dying and she came for pain. And we sat down after a couple of sessions because I was talking about the nutrition and the naturopathy and other things as well. And I said to her, look, I can treat you for pain, but the way I'm looking at it is I'm treating to get your body system back in balance, and let's see if we can get healing. Now, she is now 2 years down the track. She's off a lot of medication. She went golfing the other day with her husband, and she said to me, I have to thank you because I would have been dead 2 years ago without you. And it's not me. It's the fact we're putting in the information into the body to let the body make its repair.
Yeah. So Skeena's job, therefore, yes, you're actually a therapist doing something very seriously to that person, and it's a huge training, but what the Skeena device is doing is bringing the body back to balance so that it can heal itself. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is. It's bringing it back to balance. The thing with Skeena, you can buy home devices and use it at home. You can put pads on. You can do all those type of things. And, yes, it will still make repair. The difference between going to a professional Skeena person, and you have to make sure that is it, because there's a lot of other devices out there, say they're Skeena and they're not. You've got to go to a proper Skeena therapist, and you can ring me or talk to yourself and find out where they are. But, you know, they are taught fully after a long study the proper protocols, and those protocols or treatment strategies are what speed the body up, okay? Yeah. So allow it repair faster, and this is what's important. That's why it's very important to do the like you have, you know, done the long haul and do all your case studies and learn about the whole thing, so that you can then know what treatments to do that can help speed a body system up to make it repair. Yeah.
Well, I had fantastic experiences with you, and also since becoming a therapist, one of the things that happened to me here actually was quite interesting. A guy was cutting my grass, and he'd become the new neighbour because the owners had let the house for a couple of years whilst they went travelling. And I said, "You keep cutting my grass. You're so kind. I'm sorry I've not got time to do it. Our gardener was off somewhere, and our lawnmower was off somewhere else." And I said, "What can I do for you?" And I said, "What, beer or something like that?" "What? No. I'm happy to do it. It's right next to mine. It's simple." And I said, "Well, are you okay?" And he goes, "Oh, no, I've got bursitis." I said, "Oh, that doesn't sound good. Perhaps I can give you some Skeena." I thought, "Oh gosh, what am I going to do here?" You know. Anyway, came in and I did after evaluating and seeing where the pain was, because he was in real pain, and he could do jobs holding his arms down, but he could not pull his arm up at all. And he said, if he showered for about 20 minutes, really hot shower, really hot bath, he would be fine. He could lift his arm a bit, it would loosen, but after it all, it would go back again. So anyway, I did the collar on him, and I did M&M. And afterwards he goes, "Well, the pain has reduced and it has loosened." And I felt a little bit disappointed that it hadn't gone to any bigger degree than that, you know, but I knew that I'd see him again a few times, and it is the beginning, as we know, it has got to integrate. Anyway, I had this thunderous knock on my door the next morning. "Oh, it's Jeff. Oh my God, what have I done wrong?" And he's going there swinging his arm up and down, and he goes, "I have not done that in 5 years without a shower." And look, and he's got this arm up in the air. The pain is just not apparent. And he had a night's sleep like you don't know it. And that's from doing the collar. And that's from doing the M&M, Mary Michael, yeah. And so he continued to come, and it really helped. So there you are. This stuff is brilliant for pain relief, but it also, because again, like you say, the body comes back to balance, it starts to repair wherever it is, whether it's bone, matter, organ, whatever, doesn't it? So isn't that great? I mean, that made me feel so great as a Skeena therapist.
It is. I mean, what greater profession can you be in where you treat somebody and you can make a change to their life and their life condition? I mean, the amount of people I've treated that have gone on to become Skeena therapists are enormous. And they're all around me and they still contact me and we still talk and they still get directions, et cetera. I have no problem because I do a mentoring program as well as training. And I've written also a book about it to help. So it's the thing is with it, it's there's no greater calling. There's no greater calling than making a difference in someone's life.
And isn't it great the amount of professionals that you actually do also train, from doctors to specialists to all sorts of people are coming in because they're seeing that they're seeing something else is needed, something's missing, you know.
And so, actually it's funny you say that because it's a different training with each of them too, because I have on the weekend, a few weekends ago, I had somebody who was very, very directed by the, you know, the body system and its physiology. And so I had to get her away from trying to work out whether it was a specific ligament moving underneath there as to looking at the here and now, what's happening. And I think also, you know, when I'm treating medical practitioners, depending on what I'm treating them, when I'm treating them through the levels of scanner, I have to get them away from that almost a symptom point mentality to the point they've got to treat the whole body first and then go back. It's different with a few years back I had a course that I did on shoulder, ears and eyes, and I had a couple of doctors from Trinity Island they jumped boat in New Zealand and came over to the course and then met their wives down in Sydney. And so I had them, and that was a different thing because we were actually specifically working on an area. But it was still, they had to learn, you know, had to understand, get the body functioning right first, and then you can do a more localized area. It really is. It's a different way of thinking. And sometimes when you come in without the background, it can be an easier concept to understand.
Yeah.
Like even on the weekend, somebody said to me, oh, but the pain's here. I said, when did you develop a gait between your shoulder and your arm? And she looked at me and I said, there's no gate there. Anything you do to the hand goes there. I had it was a doctor actually. He'd broken his leg and he had a scanner home device. And he contacted me and said, I'm in so much pain, but I don't know what to do. I said, put your scanner on. He said, yes, but the leg's in a cast. I said, do the other leg. Yes, that's the concept you have to understand. The other leg can still send the messages to the brain that take the message down to heal.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny, Peter, because on the third level of the degree where you were training us and the two doctors there were Dr. Prague and there was Alistair there all the way up from the Cook Islands. Where was he again? Was it the Cook Islands? Or
Cooktown.
Cooktown, that's right, Cooktown at the top of Queensland there. And this part was quite funny because they couldn't help coming back and referring to those situations because that's indoctrinated in them, isn't it? It's part of that teaching. That's their profession. That's what they know. And the part of me that was kind of thinking, oh, my God, I'm sat with all these professionals and how am I ever going to come over this? Part of that gave me the giggles and helped me to relax because I thought, they're stuck in their stuff as I'm stuck in being quite scared of this huge journey, although very fascinating and exciting. You know, we're coming into new understanding. And I just found that absolutely fascinating.
We're coming into energetic medicine where we're understanding that, you know, the energy of a body system, if it's blocked. And I mean, this comes right back from concepts of, you know, reflexology, acupuncture, meridians, all these type of things where they work on a concept of a line through a body system, an imaginary line that works on picking up and clearing energy. The thing is with two is that we have to understand that our body system, you know, when somebody comes in to see me, they will have a whole list of their symptoms or their names. And I have people say, oh, you'll never fix that because the doctor says I'm the worst he's ever seen. They've already predefined themselves as that. So you have to actually work from that level as well. Like I often say, you know, I say we have five levels of healing. Unfortunately, most people do one, which is the physical, okay? Yeah, we have the emotional, spiritual, mental and psychological. These are four. That's only one little one here. Now, we have to understand that those other four can create also conditions. I have people that come to me that may be having enormous emotional trauma, et cetera, in there. I will set up programs and preventatives to stop that from becoming a physical issue. It hasn't yet, but it can become a physical issue. And this is the important thing. To look at those aspects, you've got to look at the whole area and look, keep learning, keep studying. you know, you have to keep, because it's, science is changing. I mean, back in the 1800s,
yes,
the doctor that decided to wash his hands between operations was laughed at. Now, if you didn't do that, you'd be sued. So, you know, medicine and knowledge is changing constantly. Keep up to date with it.
Mm. Yes, we can't. We mustn't get stuck on it. It does shift. It does, because we find things out that we didn't know before, and it's, you know, we have to keep on top of that. And just one of my fond memories as well, just before we move on to the next thing, I did love going to the seminars that we went to. I can't try to remember where they were now. Were the seminars up in Maroochydore, or with the, when the Russians come over, the ones that are teaching it to the world? What I did actually like is because you're teaching and training there as well. And it is quite fun when you have to reteach them what they've forgotten or something like that. I mean, we loved it. We thought that was hilarious, darling. We really did. Because they are great, the Russians, aren't they? They're really ahead of their time. Most Russian doctors are trained in skeno therapy because I guess that means they're not always delivering a pharmaceutical.
The thing is, as they explained to me, and this was just recently, a couple of years ago at the international conference, that Russia previously was all done with traditional medicines and herbs, etc. It was only when America, they opened and the American medicinals and pharmacology came in, that they almost started to forget their knowledge. With Russia, medical you know, help and the system is free. So therefore, anybody can have it. What happens in Russia is, if you want to be a naturopath, you must be a doctor first, and then you specialize in naturopathy. If you want to be a scanner therapist, you must be a doctor first, and then they do a one-month very intense training to specialize in scanner therapy. This is how they work. So all doctors, all scanner therapists in Russia are doctors, and you have them from all ranges. We had a conference 4 years ago, and we had a neurosurgeon, we had a pediatrician, we had a general surgeon, all came out, all using scanner in their offices and professions.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, and one of the leading cosmetologists that trains in the world, Irina, she actually also is an ophthalmologist. So these people are not just, you know, it's not just kind of let's woozy woozy over a body system. This is very deep scientific knowledge. And I've got thousands of papers that if anybody was interested, I can send them to.
Incredible.
You know, absolutely. Them
to. So, well, thank you for sharing that. And I hope that's helped everybody out there that's listening in. If you've not heard of skeno, or you have, but you're not quite sure, because, you know, we just need to develop ourselves a bit further on opening our minds a little more, I suppose. It does take a little bit, doesn't it, if we're not used to it. So just a bit shifting, moving on. I know you love your books, and I'd love to come to that shortly, but let's just get down to a bit of deep sea diving, Peter, because you love the water like myself. And we had some conversations, and before Peter and I, before the third and the last training that we had, we were going on a bit of a cruise ship and going up to Port Douglas to go and swim with the fishies up there in the Barrier Reef, that is, on the Barrier, Great Barrier Reef. So that's when you come out and said all your stories about your deep sea diving, and you're actually just a complete water baby, aren't you? Tell me a little bit about that, because we've talked a little bit, yeah. But tell me about your love of water and diving.
I've always loved water. When I was growing up, I used to say I was the wrong species. I should have been a dolphin. I actually thought I was. When I got to university, I wanted to do, I've always been a little bit of a, you know, an excitement freak. And I wanted to do rock climbing. But at that time, I had very long nails, and my mother told me they would break. So, of course, I didn't do rock climbing. Scuba diving was the next thing. So I went to scuba diving and fell in love with it. I was at the bottom of a pool with my first tank, my regulator on, and they're trying to call me up, and I'm going, no way in the world am I coming back up to the surface. This is where I belong. I loved it. I went on, I did it as a sport. I actually did it in the Red Sea off Sharm el-Sheikh. I did it all over the world. And when I came back to Cairns, I found it very difficult in those years to get, it was in 81, to get jobs. And one of the jobs coming up was they were developing a team, a diving team for the cruise boats there. And what they did was we had to then train. Now, I never thought this would go further, but we had to train. One guy, he knew every bit of equipment. Another one was an ambulance man, and I was taken as the girl because I had languages. And so we became the very first diving team on the cruise boats in Cairns.
Wonderful.
It was fantastic. And people would come out from America and say, we need to speak to the two Peters. We're going to go on their cruise. And we would take them to Green Island. We'd go out to the outer reef, and we had a submarine, and we had, boats and everything. And I remember being in the submarine. I used to do the little vocal thing, you know, look at the coral has taken millions of years to develop, and telling them the whole story. And then the captain made a mistake and he swung the submarine to the side, knocked an entire bommy of coral up. And I went, well, there's 20 million years of coral that's just gone down the track.
Oh, my God, heartbreaking.
It was fantastic. You know, I would take people out by hand and pick up things and let them touch stuff. And, yeah, I love it. I absolutely fell in love with the water, yeah, and particularly underwater. At the base of it, yeah.
Well, touche, I'm a bit of a water baby and I've had my dolphin stories and all like that, but just keeping it here to the Great Barrier Reef and what you're talking about, that was the most incredible experience that I've had, to be in warm, clean waters like I've never seen. I mean, I know there's issues out there with the bleaching and all, that's another story, but it was incredible, the colour of the fish. And when you did come across the colour, that there is usually the colour happens in the nighttime when lights are put on it, actually. Otherwise, it's kind of almost black and whitish, but it's still a totally different world, isn't it? Absolutely beautiful. I've never seen water that like that. I've seen it something like that down here on the Gold Coast, but that was just another place again. And a lot of people say, oh, how can you swim there? Because the sharks will get you. Actually, they don't come in on the reefs there because it becomes shallow in places and they get cut. That's what I'm assuming. So it's always been quite a safe thing to do, isn't it, the snorkeling? So
you do actually get the reef sharks. You get right. The white tip and black tip reef sharks. They'll come through. Yeah. They don't look, most sharks, if you read anything about sharks, sharks won't attack unless they feel threatened or they're curious. Very often they won't come around the reef to the inner reef. That's why most boats stay on the inner reef. But very often there were times where we had to go to the outer reef because the inner reef was inaccessible. And that's, you know, that's the drop-off. And that can be a little bit kind of like, you know, a bit scary when you can't see the base. But I think people need to be aware that if you're in salt water, there can be sharks. When people say there's no sharks, they're lying. Okay, there always are. So you be careful of it.
There was actually, now you say that, because on the boat they were saying, oh no, there's no killer sharks, you don't have to worry about that. But there was actually, now you say it, they said there is a particular type of shark. Maybe that's what you've said, but for some reason they weren't over concerned about those sharks because I know what it was now, an abundance of food out there that they don't experience the attacks. Yeah, there's an abundance of food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of the deep canals have a lot of fish. You have hammerheads moving through. You have a lot of sharks moving through. But the fact is they're not human killers unless we're in the way or they're curious. They have the food there.
It's their home, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
I mean, I've even seen a wobbegong, which has no teeth, where someone was mucking around with it and it just latched on and it was almost like a giant, you know, love kiss, like this great big, you know, kiss mark just sucked onto them. It didn't kill them or hurt them, but it's like, why would you do that? Why would you upset them? It's the same with stingrays. They're a part of the shark family too. Why would you step on them or try to grab them? Look at them. Stay away from them. You are in their environment. Have respect.
Yes.
As simple as that.
You know, that's quite right, because I went to Tangalooma, which is a fantastic reserve, and wild dolphins are just coming in to get fed of their own volition and lining up to get fed. It's wonderful there. And I saw my first, what did you call it, wongong?
Wobbegong,
yeah, and they've got that kind of dolphin-esque, but they're not. They've got this bigger head, and they made us stay right away from it, but just observe from a distance. You're in its habitat, you're there where it is, but it was a wonderful sight to see because it's the first time I've seen one, and I've heard so much about them.
Look, when you're working on the boat, as I was for nearly a year and a half, the amount of things you see when you're on the water. I saw manta rays flying out of the water. I saw, you know, lots of sharks around. I saw turtles come up. We had a very famous Murray Rask called Charlie that we used to feed all the time. And the funny thing there is I remember saying to people, look, if you have your jewelry on or whatever like that, don't go diving, you could lose it. And one lady, she lost this giant diamond earring, and we tried for months after to find it, but we never did. And one man, as he's smiling, looking at the wobbegong, his teeth fell out. Yeah. And, of course, Wally thought it was a prawn and just ate it.
No, it's gone.
And so the poor man came from America and he had no teeth for the whole trip. So, you know, you've got to also understand you're in a different environment. It's a wonderful environment. It's a beautiful environment, but you also have to be respectful.
Exactly. Totally respectful. It's just such a beautiful world. And but it's fraught with its dangers if it's not respected. Mm. Yeah, exactly. So tell us a bit about your books, because you're a book writer.
Well, I'm going to be releasing in the next month or two, six of them are going out. I'm just waiting for my publisher to get them all ready. Actually, two of them are called Health and Poetry. I'm actually doing, I think poetry is a lost art, and I think it's really a beautiful technique and literature concept. So I've done Health in Poetry, so talking about your health through poetry. I've also got Four Sayings, books that I've used, sayings that I've used to actually help people to find direction, to find positivity, to find compassion and connection with themselves and others. I've also got my scanner book, Scanner for Beginners, going out. And the next one that I'm completing, it's called Take Death Off the Table. That's a health book that I'll be releasing very soon as well. So I actually have 18 children's books waiting to be updated, and I have about 40 novels as well. So I have a lot of stuff. I've got them all there. They're just... they're just for me to start doing and getting them out there. Sometimes, you know, there's a procrastination because of a lack of faith in yourself too, and that's something you've got to work at too. Like, who wants to read my books? I mean, who would want to read my books out there? And you have to work through that. Well, even if they don't, it's like my son says, even if they don't, Mum, someone needs your information out there. Someone, that's how you get to a wider range of people. So that makes me keep moving forward slowly, slowly. Yeah. And like I said, my publisher showed now, all the stuff is now showing. So there's this is the time. Yeah. This is my time.
Yes. Yeah, that's beautiful.
You know, the time has to be right.
You know what? I had no idea you had quite so much. I know it's been very important to you, but you're just revealing to me you have quite... I mean, I've got one of your books. It's a Skeena one you wrote to help us. And it was one of the better ones for us. It's a small one, but it really gave this plain and simple language. So you're very good at that. And that's I think... That's one of the biggest things that you gave to me, and the encouragement you gave to me, that you said, yes, you can get through Skeena, Tracy. I said, no, I can't take a degree. People like me don't take degrees. Yes, you can, Tracy. It's really easy. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Oh, okay.
Because you know what? The thing is, Tracy, I actually believe it, and I say it in every class when I start, you know, if you don't understand, ask me. If you don't understand, it's about me, not you. The student is only as good as the teacher. So therefore, you know, I have to put it in words or a direction or a way in which you as the student will understand it. And every student is different. So, you know, the concept of trying to get through a lot of curriculum and, you know, if you get it, you don't, you know, bad luck, is not acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, I think as a teacher, my biggest issue with children was to continue to make them have a love of learning. I didn't care sometimes when I first taught. I was teaching at Anala, which is quite a high density kind of, you know, a difficult socioeconomic area. And I particularly wanted to go there. I love those kids with spirit. And anyhow, I remember somebody saying to me, well, just teach them their level. I said, but these children are in grade four and they can't read at grade one level. Well, they're grade four teachers in grade four. And I went, no.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I developed programs to do that and also to teach them things like manners, direction, respect for each other, because, you know, you can learn your maths tables at any time in life. If you have a love of learning, you will always go back and learn. But if somebody like a teacher or somebody kills your love of learning or makes you feel you can't learn, then you have destroyed that person for life. And I think that is just a travesty.
Yeah.
So for me, the love of learning, the love, your passion with Skeena was absolutely there. But somebody had made you feel you could not get it or learn it. Okay. And that needed to be changed, because look at you now, you're a great therapist.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And you bring all the emotion and all the knowledge that you have learning you through your life into how you deal with people.
Yes.
That's such a unique special.
Yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, like you said, one's got to have a good teacher. And you were that. And you were it didn't matter who you had in front of you, whether you had somebody who hadn't been through the sort of school system very well, and two people that were actually, you know, specialists. It was incredible to be in the same room to see how we all had something to learn, actually. So that was incredible, really beautifully put. So I'd love to thank you so much, Peter, for coming on and sharing. I've been dying to get you on for a while, and every moment's the right moment when it comes. So thank you so very much for sharing what you shared. It's going to give people out there so much information they can start looking at it. So I hope you've all enjoyed what you've collected today from the Skeena and from Peter's travels under the water. I love that. We love that out here, and it's fantastic out here for that anyway because of the weather. If you're traveling and listening to this podcast show, please take care and don't do anything silly. Stay slow, stay to the left or whatever. And I'll look forward to having you back next week where we'll have another lovely guest for you there. But in the meantime, I'd love to ask Peter what message she'd like to give you before she goes off into her wonderful day. What would you like to say to people out there, Peter?
Well, first of all, thank you, Tracy, for again making this available to me. And I just think everyone needs to remember that everybody is on the same journey through life. Nobody gets to it unscathed, and you just need to have compassion and thought and consideration for each other, and just help and support. That's it.
Like, be service to others. Yes.
Give service to other people. Yeah. Just, and remember, you know, as I often taught my children, that there is always going to be somebody more beautiful, thinner, wealthier, more intelligent, all those things than you are. There always will be. There'll always be somebody to beat your score. But that does not mean that you are not absolutely unique and special and a gift to this world.
That's beautiful. What a lovely way to end, guys. So once more, that was Dr. Peter Saffa, who has people flying in from all over the world when the world's working normally to come to her clinic, because that's just how good she is. She's sought after over the world. And this is Dr. Peter Saffa saying goodbye.
Bye. See you next time.
And I hope you've really enjoyed this once again. Don't forget to tune in next week. I'll have more from you then. Stay safe. Love one another. Take care of one another very well. It's over and out from Tracy's Prog World.